I'm Natalie Liu, and you're listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. Hello, hello. How are you doing? Today, I want to talk about code, amber, and red alerts. Something that maybe in your life, you refer to them as red flags. When I look back on situations where I've kicked myself, they've always involved me ignoring warning signs that often showed themselves in the early stages. And ignoring warning signs about something equates to ignoring yourself. I would hear, see, think, feel, experience something that was basically alerting me that my attention was required, or that there was a problem or danger, maybe that I was going in the wrong direction or going against myself in some way. And I would call it something else. As my relationship with me has evolved over time, I've really embraced the need to pay attention to what I call, yes, those code, amber, and red alerts. I first started referring to them as code, amber, and red alerts back in March 2011, when I wrote a post about this topic on the blog. And the reason why I felt the need to refer to them in this way is because time and time again, I would see people get into some sort of mental battle with themselves over whether something was a red flag or not. They would see something, hear something, as I said. They would, for instance, meet someone, maybe interact with them a number of times, like a couple of handfuls of occasions, over text or email, DM, face-to-face. And then they would experience unease, discomfort. Maybe they'd find that they were very self-critical while they were with this person or afterwards. Maybe they behave uncharacteristically and feel quite destabilized. Maybe they would find that they were like a performing seal, and they were sort of like, you know, when you're in high school and you're trying to get in with the cool gang, and so you start like being and doing things to look like you're like super cool. They would second guess themselves. They'd experience doubt and confusion. They would feel afraid, because sometimes there wasn't an immediate, like right there in your face kind of danger. They would be like, maybe I'm being needy. Maybe I'm being too sensitive. Maybe I'm being difficult, dramatic, rude, uppity, judgmental, whatever you want to call it. Often they would continue on because they had already decided how they wanted things to be. They saw potential in the person. Or even if it wasn't in a romantic relationship or a friendship or work, they saw the potential in a situation. They didn't want to turn back. Whatever conclusions they'd reached on day zero or day one or whenever it was, even though things had changed, they didn't want to go back. They wanted to see things through. Sometimes it became an opportunity for them to try to rescue or save. This person, for instance, would reveal that they had some big issues that meant that it was going to be difficult for them to be a loving, available partner in a mutually fulfilling relationship. And instead of picking up on those alerts and recognizing that as much as they might like this person or see potential, that they were not compatible, that their emotional needs were not going to be met by the relationship, they ignored the alerts. And I have said so many times to people, whatever you ignore in the early stages always, 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 always comes back to bite. And it comes back in two ways. Whatever we ignore, for instance, about the person or the situation, just steamrolls into bigger problems further down the line. Or whatever it was that it indicated shows itself in a variety of ways. And then we find ourselves knee deep in the situation. But also, in the process of ignoring whatever it was, of denying, rationalizing, minimizing, excusing, making assumptions, in the process of doing that, We obviously ignored ourselves, and the price of doing that is something that we pay for further down the line. Because now we may be giving ourselves a hard time about ignoring it, or we might literally not know our ass from our elbow. We might not know our up from our down, because we have now doubted and denied and minimized and all the rest so much that we have lost touch with who we are. We've lost touch with our bandwidth, with our values, with our boundaries, with our needs. We've lost touch with us. We've not been listening. And now, because we haven't been listening, as I talked about in episode, I think it's episode 107, but I'll link to it in the show notes, which will be at baggagereclaim.co.uk/197. But that was an episode about anxiety and listening to ourselves. And the trouble with not listening to us and dismissing us, especially around anything problematic, is that we will experience anxiety. We will be afraid. And anxiety isn't bad. Neither is fear as such. It's when we ignore them or we misuse them that we run into problems. And so what happens next is that because we have ignored us, anxiety has to go to greater and greater and greater lengths to get our attention. And then, of course, what happens is that we are still trying to convince us so that we can stick with the situation. We're trying to avoid something else, or our mind is focused on the prize. We're like, I want to get the reward. I'm going to save this person. I'm going to like fix this situation. So now we're people pleasing, or we're overgiving, or we're being over-responsible, or we're overthinking, or we're engaging in perfectionism because we think that this will be the great solver. And so we go on and on and on, and we don't listen. And so now the anxiety is building, and we've lost touch with us, and so we end up experiencing the consequences of that. Whatever we ignore in the early stages, especially if we ignore it for a, you know, an extended period, it's going to come back to bite. Like traffic lights, code amber means stop, look, listen, and proceed with caution, or, as I like to put it, because sometimes when you put the caution thing in there, people are like, ooh, it sounds like I'm being like sketchy or hyper suspicious. Proceed with awareness. And code red is stop, halt. It's a no-go. It might mean danger. It might mean opt-out. Code amber and code red might require different things of us, but at the end of the day, they both ultimately mean that we will need to be more boundaried. So let's look at this a little bit more. With code amber, you need to get grounded. Come back to base. Get a sense of your surroundings, how you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you're doing. Where are you? Are you living in the past? Like, even though it's 2020, in this interaction, are you thinking, feeling, and behaving as if it's 1985? Like, have you suddenly reverted, for instance, to being a child all over again? Are you behaving as if you are around an ex-partner when actually you are around this person? It's like, notice what on earth is going on. Assess the situation. Assess whether there is a threat level. Is there something to be concerned about? Notice yourself. If there are gaps, if you're realizing, oh, I don't know as much as I think I know, or, oh, that flags up that I need to ask more questions or find out more information, then the code amber alert is letting us know that we need to fill in those gaps before we basically start carrying on as if we know everything, before we can really proceed with any great deal of confidence. It might be one of those situations where the alert is like, as a result of realizing that you need to ask something, but feeling funny about asking it, the alert is letting you know, hey, you feel funny about asking that. What's the deal there? The thing about code amber alerts, and this is why I differentiated between these and a code red, is that it may not seem immediately obvious or feel that big. So as I said earlier, what I was often finding is that people would be like, oh, like, I know, like, it could be a red flag, but I don't know. I don't think it's a red flag because of this. So this is where it goes under code amber, where we genuinely believe that it's not super obvious why it may be an issue, or we're not clear as to why we feel uneasy or unsettled. We just know that we do. It lets us know that something is off or that it needs our attention. Code ambers can be early warning signs about code reds. And with code ambers, they will be temporary because they're resolved, or they will be temporary because they become red. With code red alerts, it's about incompatibility or danger. Now, incompatibility is not reserved for just romantic relationships. It's for everything. As humans, we're in relationship with everything, and we are compatible with anything that aligns with our values, our boundaries, and our needs. If we speak specifically to our interpersonal relationships, any relationship where we do not share core values, where it counts in terms of character and the direction in which we want to go, will mean that we are incompatible. So character being the values that speak for who we are as a person, our moral outlook. You know, when we talk about how we value being somebody who has integrity, who's trustworthy, who's honest, who's responsible, who, I don't know, maybe we value our spirituality, our creativity, our autonomy, whatever that might be. If we then meet somebody who actually doesn't value those in terms of their character, so that the way that they come across, they are lacking, for instance, in integrity, they don't have loyalty, whatever that might be, then we're not going to be a fit. If, however, we're pretty similar with somebody in terms of character, but we're not going in the same direction because we value very, very different things, very, very different things matter to us, and it puts us on very different pages, then we're incompatible. Whatever that incompatibility is, it's going to mean that our needs are not going to be met by the relationship. Now switch it from relationship to job. Let's imagine that we go and take a job somewhere, and we know what our values are in terms of our character and the things that are important in our life. And we discover over time that we're working for a company where, okay, yeah, we get on all right and we can do our job, but the company is out of alignment with us in terms of its own values. You know, maybe they're performative. Maybe they lack integrity around certain things. It's not about people or, for instance, companies being perfect. It is about what I talked about a few months ago, about whether somebody's washing their front and their back in terms of their values, or whether they're just like talking a good game. If we work somewhere where, as a result of working there, we cannot function, so we are out of bandwidth, we cannot be the person that we say that we are because our character is compromised. You know, I've heard of people working in places where they are expected to get up to all sorts of shady stuff. By continuing to be in that company, we are compromising who we are. And that is a code red issue. Anything or anyone that compromises who we say we are or who we say we want to be and where we want to go, that is a code red alert that it is not a fit. It's not a fit. So code red is letting us know about incompatibility, but it can in some instances also let us know about danger. Now, sometimes we have this attitude of, well, if something is going to be dangerous, then it will be dangerous straight away. But as anybody knows who has been involved in an abusive relationship, whether it was about verbal emotional abuse or whether it also extended itself to physical abuse as well, they don't pull that stuff on day zero, on day one. They build up to it. There may be some hints around that, but they're not necessarily going to show that stuff on that, you know, straight out the gate. And so, for instance, you know, I know from my own personal experience, but also talking to many other people as well, that you can be involved with somebody who's very fast out the gate, very intense, very, very charming. They bulldoze into your life. They seem to say all the right things, do all the right things, want to take over. But then they also seem to slip in these little comments about certain things. Maybe they're commenting about how you're dressed, who you're hanging out with, Maybe the first time you say something that they don't like, you feel like a very, very significant drop in the temperature of the relationship. They withdraw, they're punitive. Then you feel as if you're like scrabbling around, you know, trying to suck up to them. Maybe they gaslight, you know, there's a sort of self-doubt, confusion. You basically came in with a certain level of self-esteem. And now, for whatever reason, even though you can't quantify what level you have, you just know that you have a lot less since you've been involved with this person. They didn't do this stuff on day zero, day one. They made out like we were the best things in sliced bread. They made out like they were the perfect person. And then they showed themselves. With the benefit of hindsight, we realize, oh, like them making themselves out to be the perfect person, us twisting ourselves into a pretzel trying to please them, us being destabilized and railroading their way into our life. Oh, these were code red alerts that were letting us know about what was to come. These were the prelude to what was to come. It is only when we look back and look at certain things that we flagged as like, oh, that's romantic, rather than realizing that it was intense and the person not listening to us and breaching our boundaries. So anyway, when we look back and go, oh, there was that like thing that they said and I felt myself sort of feel sick where, you know, I was like, oh, wow, like why are they talking about their ex like that? Or, oh, that seems a bit off. So anyway, when we start to look back, rewind our mental tape that we start to recognize those signs. With code red alerts, they are something that if you ignore them, it would be ignoring something that is too big to ignore. So some people will go, well, like, well, what if like something is like a code red, right? But, you know, I've like basically said that it's a code amber. If something's a code amber, all things will become clear, right? But if something is actually a code red, then it will intensify. It will show itself more and more. There will be more and more indications of it in the interaction if we're willing to be listening and watching, if we're willing to notice ourselves. With a code red alert, there will be boundary issues. We will likely be crossing our boundary in some way if it's been going on for a while, but the other party, the situation, crosses into our boundaries. We don't have to be in mortal danger in order for us to be in danger. Anything that endangers our well-being, anything that stops us from being us, anything that destabilizes us, anything that, yes, could put us in a situation where it is abusive, where it is unsafe, where it is dangerous, that is code red. So how do you know which one is which? There are influencing factors that help you to put context to things. So if the alert that you experience is about what is a temporary shift from an overall healthy pattern of interacting with this person or situation, this is a code amber alert asking you to pay attention and get grounded. That's it. You know, the proceed with awareness or proceed with caution. You know, get your bearings type of thing. If the issue has been happening for a short period, but you need more information, this is a code amber. So for instance, you're dating somebody and something's feeling off. Maybe something's been said and it's like things are not really adding up. You get the sense that you don't really have the full story. And you've been having a good time, but just something doesn't quite fit. This can be a code amber. Again, it's all contextual because, you know, if you've known somebody for a hot minute and you're feeling this way, one would ask, is it really worth stressing yourself out, you know, going ahead with something that you already feel is off this early in the proceedings? If it is what I just described, but what you're experiencing endangers your well-being, or it's just flat out inappropriate, that is a code red. If what you are experiencing an alert about is something that is habitual, so it's actually happened a number of times, you can't just put it as a one-off, an anomaly, right? Or it ties in with other things, so it's fitting into an overall pattern that's trying to tell you something about that person or the situation. And these are indicators that maybe you've dismissed or that you were unaware of the significance at the time, this is a code red alert that something is very wrong. Halt. Get to grips with what is going on, right? And if required, opt out or certainly put enough distance using your boundaries so that you can continue to take care of you. If, as a result of whatever it is that you're doing, so it could be a friendship, it could be a romantic relationship, it could be the way that you're engaging with, for instance, a family member, it could be your job. If, as a result of whatever you're doing, your self-esteem has gone down, that's a code red alert. If your behavior in the situation or the other person's behavior represents an unhealthy pattern, that's a code red. I think that this is something that is at the heart of the issue of recognizing when something is a potential or actual issue. Far too often, I see people basically trying to play Columbo, Jessica Fletcher, you know, Miss Marple, Magnum PI, whatever your favorite detective is, right? All too often, I see people doing that. Let me scan the perimeter and find out if they're shady. I just need to catch them at it. I need to like build up the evidence, right? First of all, that's a code red alert that something's off with you, that you don't trust. And you may have very good reasons for not trusting, but instead of acknowledging that actually you want to get out of the situation, that you don't trust it, you now want to go and play Columbo and try and build up like, I don't know, 10 warehouses full of evidence trying to prove your point, right? That's a code red alert that you are out of integrity, that you're out of alignment, that you are not really being you, and that actually you might be breaking your own heart and wasting your time. All too often, we're so busy trying to catch people out and prove that they're shady or whatever, right? That we don't notice that we are getting information from a situation and from our own feelings and thoughts and behavior that's letting us know what the state of play is for us. Something else as well that can let us know that it is a code red, and yes, okay, in some instances at best a code amber, is familiarity. So if you get into a situation and you find that you're feeling, thinking, and behaving as if you are a kid and the situation is familiar because the person or the situation reminds you of your parents, caregivers, old bully, or whatever it is, and basically it all reminds you of an unhealthy situation, stop. It's a code red alert that something is off. The example I always use with this is people will come and tell me horror stories of what they're going through at work. And yes, sometimes it's about a romantic relationship where they're dealing with somebody who is a bully, who is passive aggressive or very aggressive. And when we get into the nuts and bolts of how they're thinking and feeling and behaving around this person or what the situation and the person remind them of, they'll go, oh, suddenly it clicks. The person reminds them of their super critical parent. It reminds them of their old bully from school or their sister or whoever it might be. This is a code red alert that something is very, very wrong. That something that is wrong might be that we have just slipped into an unconscious pattern, that we have entered into something and we've gone into child mode. We're no longer, for instance, Natalie, 43 years old. We've now reverted to being Natalie, 5 years old, chasing after mommy and daddy's attention. We've forgotten who we are and we've reverted to an old pattern. In any of those situations, I call that like a full-on code red. If we are in a situation and the person is basically like a parental replacement, if it's like we're trying to right the wrongs of the past, the person has the same issues as, you know, one of our parents or caregivers or somebody significant in our past, major code red alert, full on code red. Something is very wrong. We need to get grounded. We need to do something. We need to take action. We cannot continue to proceed as if the issue isn't what it is. And this can have big consequences if we are very, very deep into, for instance, a romantic relationship with somebody or this is, you know, a long-standing friendship, or it's something to do with work, or yeah, it could be a family member, because it could mean that we have to create boundaries that may put distance between us and them. It can mean, yes, opting out. Whatever it is that we will need to do in order to get back to a place where we're not on this red alert, where we are basically not ignoring ourselves, whatever it is that we have to do to get back to base, to get back to being grounded, to get back to taking care of us, or to actually start taking care of us, that is what we have to move towards. Use this as an opportunity to see what this experience is trying to show us about the past. Our relationships help us to heal, grow, and learn. They are vehicles that through our interactions with people who are similar to other people we've engaged with in the past, who we've often blamed ourselves for their behavior, where we've had these misunderstandings, these experiences in our present show us what we couldn't see before. So as I said, any trying to right the wrongs of the past, any, you know, slipping into a child mode, giving away your power, being around people, situations that basically remind you of like your past, you know, in the sense of like, you know, unhealthy elements of the past, full on code red alert. If it represents any form of abusive behavior, and by goodness, you'd be amazed at how many people I hear from who it's almost like they measure things against a gold standard of shadiness, a gold standard of abusive behavior. So it's like, well, in my mind, it's only like super abusive, like really abusive, if it's like the way that my ex-partner did it, or the way that, for instance, my parent did it. But because it's not that and it's this instead, I feel like I can work with that. Code red alert. First of all, it's a code red alert about the abusive behavior. And it's also a code red alert about how we're rationalizing somebody else's abusive behavior. No abusive behavior, verbal, emotional, physical, should be a code amber. It is always, always, always a code red alert. If there are genuine doubts about it, like genuinely you have doubts about whether it is abusive, like is this controlling? Is this manipulative? Is it gaslighting? Code amber it. That way then you're acknowledging what you've noticed, what you've experienced, and all things will become clear. If there is more to come, you will see it. You will notice the pattern of this. It will not just be a one-off thing. If we experience any basically of what I've just listed and we don't know the person, or we've only known them for a short period, that's a code red alert. Like, why on earth would we continue to push on with that? If we don't know somebody and we're experiencing all that already, and then we would ignore us, what would we do with somebody that we've actually known for a longer period? So we have to be willing to call it. What we sometimes find ourselves doing is, as I said earlier, the denying, the rationalizing, minimizing, excusing, and assuming. Maybe it's not this, it's that. Well, maybe if I hadn't said that particular thing, then maybe they wouldn't have done that thing. Actually, that kind of thinking at best is a code amber, if not a code red alert, that something has gone off the boil with you about this situation. Saying stuff like, oh, I don't want to be hasty, right? Again, at best, code amber alert that we are denying, rationalizing, minimizing. If we hardly know somebody and we're all already getting indicators that on some level we know indicate that there is going to be an issue because we've already done this ride around the rodeo before, we need to acknowledge that. It's not haste, right? This is something that I talk to people about with dating all the time. And it's like, why are you so invested in somebody that you've been on one date with, or that you've like chatted on DM or whatever, like several times, or you've been on a handful of dates with? What on earth could you possibly see in this situation? What on earth have you experienced so far that would even begin to justify ignoring you, that would justify you continuing to proceed, even though you are experiencing deep anxiety and stress over this thing, even though you're getting signs that something is off? If we're thinking stuff like some crumbs is better than no crumbs, again, in that situation, it's a code red alert. It's like, you know, we're settling. If we're trying to save or fix or heal or help, right? That's a code red alert. We are way over our boundaries, right? We are not taking responsibility for us, and we're actually being over responsible with the other person. We're behaving in a codependent manner. If we're saying stuff to us like, well, maybe it's because I'm too needy, dramatic, insensitive, difficult, uppity, rude, whatever, our fingers. I always say that is your code red alert? Some people find that they're in a situation where they're trying to figure it out. And then they say to me, and I've been saying, you know, maybe I'm just like being too sensitive about this. And I'm like, halt right there. There's your code red alert that something is very wrong. In any situation where we keep saying that type of stuff to us, it is a code red alert that we are ignoring us and that we are ignoring something. That instead of allowing us to be honest and take action, we are dismissing us, minimizing us, possibly criticizing us and harming us by continuing on anyway. If we're saying, well, you know what, it's okay for me to compromise my values because, you know, money or because I'm going to get laid or whatever it might be. Yeah, maybe we can get away with that in the short term. But actually, we still need to acknowledge that it is at best a code Amber alert that something has gone off, that we have veered off whatever path that we are on, that we are straying away from who we are. Code Amber and Code Red alerts are alerts to be more boundaried. That's basically what they mean. Boundaries are twofold, something I've talked about many times here on the podcast and on the blog. And what I mean by this is that often we see boundaries as like, oh, like this is about telling other people what to do, ruling others. Actually, when we know what the boundary is for others, then we know what the boundary is for us too. If we have been alerted to something about someone else, what is that telling us about what we need to be and do? If we've been alerted to something about a situation, what is that pointing back about what we need to be and do for us in order to continue to take care of us from a place of love, care, trust, and respect? It's all very well going, I feel like this person's not really being honest with me. I feel like this person is maybe like messing me around. I feel like this person's being ambiguous. Okay, great. You've noticed that. Good. Where are you not being honest with yourself? If you're still sitting there deliberating about whether that person's being honest with you while still trying to collect up all this evidence, then it's like, what are you not allowing you to be honest with you about? Where are you being ambiguous? Something I've talked about before on the podcast, and again, I'll make sure I link to this in the show notes, which will be at baggagereclaim.co.uk/197. Is there's no such thing as like one-sided ambiguity. If somebody's being ambiguous and we're calling it an ambiguous situation, it's because we're also being ambiguous as well. So a lot of the things that we dislike in others or that we feel alerted to about others, it's not that we're the same as them, but it points to something that we can evolve in some way that allows us to be more boundaried from our side. It allows us to clean up our side of the street. So for instance, it's like, actually, you know, somebody's moving too fast on us. Where are we moving too fast? Where are we trying to like be in a fantasy? Like, where did we like make a snap decision to ignore us so that we could go after what we thought we could get out of the situation? It's also really important when it comes to picking up on alerts to recognize that we don't need to play Columbo, Jessica Fletcher, Miss Marple or CSI or whatever, right? We don't. That doesn't mean that we should stop noticing. What I'm saying is we don't need to turn noticing into a sport of trying to catch people out. We don't need to be so focused on the detective work that we don't bother with the self-work of having the boundaries and moving on or doing something that allows us to move forward with love, care, trust, and respect. How much evidence do we need to collect? Right? If we have the evidence, let's move. This is especially so when we actually don't know a person. When we are further down the road and we have been involved with somebody for some time and we are picking up on certain issues, whether it's a code Amber or a code Red, ignoring it isn't going to make the problem go away. Let's just be clear about that. So whatever it is, it means that we are going to have to step up in some way. It is going to involve vulnerability because we're going to have to speak up on certain things, or it might mean having to opt out in certain instances, obviously, if it's a code red. You know, if there is a code red issue going on in a relationship, you know, outside of, you know, the abusive side of things, but if there's a code red issue going on in a relationship and it's not about abuse, but it is something that is big enough that it puts a big old wrecking ball through any idea of this being a mutually fulfilling relationship with love, care, trust, and respect. This relationship cannot proceed as is. The code red issue has to be acknowledged and the boundaries need to be put in place that recognize the existence of the code red issue. That way, each party, whatever happens next, can proceed from a place of being boundaried. Or even if one person isn't really that keen on being boundaried, at least we can proceed from a place of being boundaried. It's also important as well to recognize that it's not about judging people, it's about judging a situation. If we're in a situation and we're recognizing that it's not in alignment with who we are, it's not in alignment with our values, with our boundaries, we can't meet our needs, we have to judge the situation and recognize that it's not a fit. It's not saying anything about the other person. It's saying something about who we are and who we want to be. I can't stress this enough. File information away when it comes to code Amber Alerts. Sometimes it's not 100% clear why something is an issue. I remember dealing with somebody several years back and everything seemed cool in those initial meetings that I had with her. But she said something inappropriate, you know, right as the meeting was ending. And I felt a very strange sensation. It was like a bit of a like right in the gut, felt very uneasy. But the comment in and of itself could seem very innocuous. Actually, that comment that person made, it ended up being a reflection of their subsequent boundary issues. It also ended up being an indication of their passive aggression and this sort of mean streak. Sometimes it's going to seem fairly innocuous, but it's a metaphor for something. It's an indicator of something. How people do one thing is how they do a lot of things, right? So somebody can be all charm and nice with us, and then we see them operating in a very, very different way in a different context. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. And if we don't know them enough, why are we so attached to this idea that the impression that we have of them straight out the gate is the absolute correct one? We don't need to be, because people unfold. Something else as well that can explain why we get the sensation of something being off, why we get the alerts, is that we all have a mental filing system, our subconscious. Now, like a computer, if you had every single file, every single app open, it wouldn't run, right? We can't. So we do not have every file in our subconscious open. There's lots and lots of things filed away. Most of it we cannot remember. We don't even know what on earth it is. And so sometimes, often in fact, alerts that we pick up is our subconscious pinging those files that we have inside our mind about certain things. But because we're not necessarily consciously aware of what something means, we can be very quick to dismiss it. We might not realize that maybe the reason why we picked upon that discomfort is because we experienced this particular thing in a different guise a long time ago, and it got filed away somewhere as, ooh, danger, or ooh, you better take it easy there, or ooh, I don't think that means that that person's sincere, or ooh, that person's a liar, or ooh, you know, whatever it might be. So we all have a mental filing system, and as you can imagine, we have billions of files in there. And yeah, some stuff is misfiled, but if something is misfiled and so we get an alert for something and it turns out not to be the case, that will be evidenced by our subsequent interactions with something. We might read something as, oh, do I need to be distrusting of that person? And that person consistently demonstrates that they are trustworthy. And so the alert will go away because we'll be like, oh, I'm able to show up and recognize what's going on here. But if something is an alert and it's telling us something about a situation, we will get more indications. It will not go away. It will build in intensity until we pay attention. It's your job to listen to you. Don't dismiss the alerts, right? See those alerts as notifications. Don't see it as, oh God, this thing's here coming to try and ruin my life and ruin my fun and stop me from getting a relationship or getting a job or being happy. No, the alerts are trying to help you. The more that you consistently, you know, rely on you and listen to you, is the better you get at reading the alerts, the better sense you get of what certain things might mean. The more that you instill trust in you and allow you to read your own information, is the better you will become as well at reading the relationships, the people, the situations around you. The trust we have in others is an expression of the trust that we have in ourselves. If we want to feel more confident about our relationships, about our choices that we're making, we have to be willing to listen to us and learn from those instances where we got it right and also be willing to learn from those instances where we didn't listen or where we misinterpreted something. Listening to us is invaluable, and it allows us to become more discerning. Whether it's a code amber or a code red alert, it's a cue to be more boundaried. It's a cue to be more you. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time, and take care of you. If you would like to say hi, or you have a quick question, or you would like to let me know what you thought of an episode, the best place to get a hold of me is on Instagram, at NatLue. That's N-A-T-L-U-E. You can also reach me by email. That's podcast@baggagereclaim.com. And I'm also on Twitter and Facebook. And links to all of these will be in the show notes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/197. Did you know that aside from the podcast, there's also a blog which features over 1,600 posts? It covers a broad range of topics, including emotional unavailability, how to recognize healthy relationships from unhealthy ones, as well as how to live and love with more self-esteem. Head on over to baggagereclaim.co.uk or .com. You can also find a list of all episodes so far at baggagereclaim.co.uk/podcast, where you will also find information about how to subscribe. Are you not subscribed yet? As well as how to rate and review the show. Rating the Baggage Reclaim sessions on Apple Podcasts is really good at helping the show to grow and catch more eyes.